Now, George Galloway, I'm sure, really doesn't need introduction, but I must say that I've been following his principled stand about the situation in Iraq already over the sanctions, and he's been in the forefront of the opposition to the war. So here he is to speak to us now.
The march that we now have towards June the 10th, Super Thursday, which we must turn into a referendum on the Bush Blair axis of evil, on the strategy of endless war, on the agenda of privatisation, the crushing of trade union rights, the impoverishment of pensioners, the two-tier Back to the Future 1930s higher education system, the foundation hospitals, another 1930s turning of the clock back that's described as modernisation. It's no less important on June the 10th that we deliver a resounding defeat to that agenda than it was to have marched on February the 15th. Because I'll tell you what will happen if the nameless, faceless stooges of New Labour are returned to the European Parliament. I challenge anyone in here to name me two Labour members of the European Parliament. They're not even legends in their own households. They could walk down their own streets and not be recognised by the public. They do nothing, they say nothing, except yes sir, when Tony Blair gives his orders. If these people are re-elected, I'll tell you what Mr. Blair will say. He'll say, we've moved on. We've drawn a line. We've put it behind us. The anger has abated. We've turned the page. British people have matured. Onwards, onwards with the agenda of privatisation and war. Is there anyone in this room who really wants that smile, that Bob Monkhouse, once you can fake the sincerity, the rest is easy smile, put back on the face of Tony Blair? You want David Plunkett to be able to go on the television late at night on June the 10th and say, I told you so, I told you we got it right? Is there anyone who wants that grinning fool straw to be strutting around European capitals with a new spring in his step, a new mandate, renewed confidence from the British people? I cannot believe that anyone, whatever their party, in this hall tonight wants to see that. Therefore, inescapably, we must come together to try and stop it from happening. And I hope that no one will allow it. Their understandable affection for their own party to stand in the way of all of us making one fist which can punch through the mould which keeps the three-party system, which has been so well described at this meeting this evening, lording it over us, telling us that there's nothing we can do, there is no alternative. You see, this coalition, like the anti-war coalition, together can reach parts that individually its component parts cannot reach. I spoke, as I said, to 600 people, mainly Muslims, in Preston on Saturday night meeting at 8 o'clock in the evening. Because it was called for and by this unity coalition, it was able to draw a section of the community to a meeting and into action in a way that no individual party or organization, if you're being honest, you know this, could possibly do. Trade unionists, pensioners, students, anti-war campaigners, all with different nuances of their political views, need to come together under this unity banner. And that's why the name Respect has such genius. Because within itself it contains the spirit of of what we stand for. Respecting ourselves, respecting others, respecting equality, socialism, peace, the environment, community, trade unions. Anybody here disagree with those things? Anybody here disagree with a raft of policies which tries to reach out to those different constituencies? Unite them in action, and in this case, unite them at the ballot boxes. Let me just give you a glimpse of our perspective. 2 million people were on the bitterly cold streets of London on February the 15th. If just half of those people, on a warm summer's day in June, marched the altogether shorter distance to their ballot box, they will be speaking of nothing else on the morning after June the 10th than that a million people voted against Tony Blair and George Bush, elected members of the European Parliament all over the country, and changed the face of British politics. And they'll be speaking of nothing else. Just half of the people who took the trouble to come to London in far less auspicious circumstances. That's the prize that's ahead of us. I'm not going to repeat the arguments my comrades have made so vividly this evening. You've heard the constituencies that we are seeking to reach. I want to deal with only one. And I'm doing it deliberately because this is an overwhelmingly white, non-Muslim audience. I was in Liverpool on Friday and I drove all the way to London, getting in at 3 o'clock in the morning before driving all the way back up to Preston. Why? Because I wanted to attend the demonstration opposite the French Embassy in London to show my solidarity with the young Muslim women who were there protesting about the right-wing president of France, Jacques Chirac's attempt to humiliate them, to scapegoat them, to whip up feelings against them by tearing their headdresses off their heads. I did it because those Muslims had been on all our anti-war marches. Those Muslims had given their efforts and been out with us on the great battles around the war. And I wanted to show solidarity with them because one of the most important aspects of our perspective as the Unity Coalition is to stand beside those who are under attack from these evil forces that are at work in our society. It starts, you know, with the dribble in the Sunday Express by the popinjay Kilroy Silk. It moves on to calling names to asylum seekers, locking them up in detention centres behind barbed wire, with German Shepherd dogs patrolling the perimeter. It moves on to Belmarsh and Guantanamo Bay, where people can be thrown in dungeons and forgotten about because they're a different colour and a different religion from the rest of us. And it ends in the bombing of Kabul, of Gaza, and Baghdad and Basra by the same governments who are making war against Muslims abroad that are making war against minorities, immigrants, asylum seekers here at home. And we have to understand how all these things are linked. How Linda couldn't get £8.50 an hour for plunging into burning buildings for a living, saving our lives and property, while Gordon Brown could write a blank check to go around the world setting fire to other people's countries, incinerating their lives, incinerating their properties. These things are two sides of the same coin. Whipping up hatred against immigrants and Muslims at home is an inescapable part of preparing people for going into an era of endless war against Muslims abroad. We have to think in joined up thinking. We have to understand, as they do, that these issues are all connected. And I believe that this coalition, with the many colours, the many threads, which it's now attempting to weave together in a tapestry of the British population, is much more representative than those currently occupying the positions of power in the British Parliament, in the European Parliament, and yes, even in town halls such as this. Because you see, what Linda's Labour MP told her, that the problem with the Labour Party is that nobody can influence the leadership. I'm sorry to say it was a lie. They could influence the Labour leadership if they had the guts, if they had the courage to try and represent their constituents. They could influence the Labour leadership. When I came back to this country a few days ago, the papers were full of a mass rebellion on the issue of top-up fees. 155 MPs signed a motion, won't have it, take it back. And every day since I've come back, a procession of Labour MPs blinking, dragged into the headlights in front of the television cameras to confess that they've changed their minds, that Tony had been right all along, and the great rebellion is fizzling out as we meet here this evening. And I'll tell you this, see if I'm wrong, next week Tony Blair will get his top-up fees. And I'll predict something else, see if I'm wrong. The Hutton inquiry will be a whitewash, and Tony Blair will bound free from both the tuition fees and the Hutton inquiry, because we don't have enough political power to change things. And that's what we're after now. We're after changing things. We marched, millions of us marched, but our MPs still went through the lobbies like sheep, voting for the slaughter of thousands of Iraqis anyway, even though they knew that we didn't want them. Politics of protests. Protest is a wonderful thing. I've been doing it all my life. As long as God gives me breath, I'll continue to do it. It's necessary, but it's not sufficient. Protest is not enough. The people who make the decisions to keep the civil servants on the poverty pay, to keep the pensioners in poverty, to privatise the health service and the public services, to make the students wrap an albatross of tens of thousands of pounds worth of debt around their necks are the people in elected office, and we have to storm those fortresses. The people on the march must march into the fortresses, into the parliaments, by elections and by election victories. And so I hope that notwithstanding the allegiance that many of you have to your own organisations, that you will support a united coalition, respect the unity coalition, by joining it, by coming to our convention on Sunday, RESPECT, find out what it means to you in London at the convention on Sunday, by giving us your name and address and your contact details this evening so we can keep you in touch with what we're doing. And you can tell us what you're prepared to do jointly to build this. I've said, and I close on this, at every meeting this weekend, this is a historic launch of a movement which I believe will change this country for good and for the better. You will be able to tell people, tell your children, their children, that you were a part of the beginning, of the launch, of the foundation of such a movement. That's not a small thing. As John Rees said, this doesn't come along every year. There is a wave, there is a tidal wave of opinion in this country that wants things to change. Be a part of that wave. Show some respect for yourselves, for others, for the earth, for the program that we have set out before this convention on Sunday. And believe me, we'll change things for good. Thank you.